morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. If you can, will you stand with us today? You made it. You made it to a new year. And what an opportunity we have to be in God's house and to lift his name at the start of this year. Thank you for being here. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to glorify his name. We're going to praise him.
I'll praise you in the valley, praise on the mountain. I praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting. I praise when outnumbered, praise when surrounded. My praise is the water, my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I praise when I feel it, and I praise when I don't. I praise 'cause I know still in control, yeah. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord.
Have a good time in there. Well, welcome again to Discovery Community Church. You got your calisthenics going already for 2026. You're welcome. If you're on live stream, Happy New Year. Good to see you. Let us know where you're watching from. Listen, when you came in today, by the way, if you're new here, my name is Bobby. I'm one of the leaders here, and we're happy to have you with us. When you came in today, you got an envelope, and in that envelope, you got one of these connection cards. We would love to get to know you. We would love to be in on your side as a partner in prayer with you. Maybe you came in today and you have some felt needs. This is one of the ways that we can learn more about you and about what you need. So you can fill this out. And I know that we're in the age of QR codes. So there's a QR code here as well that you can use your phone and fill one of these out. We don't want to use your information for anything else other than to connect with you. So go ahead and check that out. Some of the highlights here for January. All January long, we're going to have our sharing table. That's going to be right over here. Yes, please, give that a hand. So if you don't know, the sharing table is a place for you to get food resources, for you to also share food resources. And so if you have needs, we want you to know that you can go to the sharing table to get those needs. And if you want to participate in the sharing table and what's happening at the sharing table, find Corey right there. And Corey will put you to work. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate you. One of the things we do here that's really powerful and impactful as being a member of the church is small groups. And so I was going to ask you if you're in a small group, raise your hand, but I don't want to make anybody feel bad. Oh, some of you are doing it anyway. I love it. Okay. All right. All right. So if you didn't raise your hand, there's an opportunity. January 18th, we're relaunching small groups. So this is an opportunity for you to maybe start a small group. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to join a small group. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to go back to the small group you've already been a part of, but you haven't been attending. This is a great opportunity. And in small groups, this is a chance for us to do life together, for us to partner in what's happening in the community together, to be on mission together, and have a group of folks that outside of Sunday you can pray with, you can do life with, you can grow in the things of God. So January 18th. In fact, around that time, I'll be starting a new small group right here at Lincoln High School. Times are still going to be determined. Abby's done her job and told me about all of the logistics. I just need to choose a time. So I'm going to make that happen. But if you're interested in joining that small group that's going to happen here on Sunday mornings at Lincoln High School, let me know. Fill out your connection card. That's a great place for you to do that. All right, here's what's going to happen today. We're going to sing some more songs, and then Pastor John's going to come up and teach from a new sermon series, Legos, right? Did you bring Legos for us to take with us? Okay. He didn't do it. Maybe next time? Maybe next time. All right, good. I guess it depends on how well we do today. All right. Well, great. Well, if you will you stand to worship with us? Now I'll turn it over to Katie.
Father God, I thank you for bringing us together today so that we could praise you. It's not always easy to praise, and it's not something that comes naturally to all of us all the time, but I pray that you would hear what we praise today, that no matter what's around us, no matter what's going on, that we would turn our eyes to you and see you and lift up a wonderful, joyful noise to you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will walk. mystery. Yeah. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar.
Captured him of praise. We'll
fight. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
Stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just a doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing and my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified. Oh, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified.
Encourage you to be seated just for a moment. I want to maintain that worship. We were singing an incredibly powerful lyric. Christ be magnified in me. So I'm going to encourage you just around the auditorium for just a moment. Bow your head with me. Close your eyes. And instead of just singing the song to keep up with a bunch of other people in the room, just for a moment, even before you talk to God, ask yourself, what would it mean for Christ to be magnified in me? In a couple of minutes from now, our teaching won't focus on it, but you're going to hear about, we're going to read this verse that says that we are like jars of clay. And the God of the universe has chosen you, this vulnerable, flawed, cracked in maybe multiple places, the kind of vessel that others might keep hidden away or tucked under something. God looks at you and has chosen you. To be the recipient of his indwelling spirit. What that means is he wants to live vibrantly in you. Like he handpicked you. And like that parable that Jesus gave many years ago. He doesn't light a lamp. He doesn't indwell a person with the Son Jesus to then have you be hidden. He's done it to put you on a lampstand and to magnify himself through you. So right now, as we've been singing this song and we're looking ever so briefly back at 2025, and now we're staring right into the face of 2026. What would it mean for Jesus to be magnified in your life? Now, after you've thought about that, I want you to talk to God. Is it a softening? You might say, God, will you soften me? Is it boldness? God, I want to live boldly. Is it set aside, no longer a part of the world and the world's ways? Then talk to God about it. Right in your seats. God, I want Jesus to be magnified in me this year. And this is, it's time. Take a minute. You talk to God. Father God, we thank you for another day and another year. What an incredible gift. I find it to be an amazing gift this morning as I look around this room and I see amazing people that you are still working in vibrantly. Christ be magnified in me. Christ be magnified in your church. Jesus Christ be magnified in this little church in the east side of Tacoma for your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. You guys made it. Who knew? I said earlier, I said, who knew we could make it to 2026? Barb said, I knew. What? It's easy. So, hey, Happy New Year. Glad that you guys are here. And some of you, like, this is part of, like, a commitment. So, good job. Put a star on January 4th. You did it. So, we all need stars occasionally, right? Does anybody ever make, a to-do list after you did the stuff? Thank you. Thank you, Nina. Yeah, there you go. Sometimes just to check it off. So listen, if you don't have a list, maybe go home, make going to church on January 4th part of it, check it off. You're going to feel great. So anyway, Happy New Year. I have, for the last several weeks, I think I've started every talk with, I love this, and I love Christmas. And some of you, we've been friends a long time, and you know me, I love new moments, new parts of the year. So I love the first week of January. It's part of my makeup, as I like reflecting. I know not everybody likes reflecting. I like reflecting. You know, I'm one of the kids that like to test. So I'm a rare breed. Like, hey, I want to take a test. And I like the opportunity to evaluate. And I love the opportunity of setting goals. It's kind of who I am. And over the years, I've been doing this a long time, and nearly every first Sunday in January, I get up here with excitement, and I say, like, how's those resolutions going on January 4th? And there's usually, eyes are darting back and forth. But I've noticed over the years, fewer and fewer people engage with me, particularly when I say the word resolution. In fact, I'm pretty sure last year when I said resolution, there was like two people in the entire room who said that they had a resolution. And I had a little gut check last week. I was like, maybe I'm just weird. Maybe nobody's into starting fresh. And so I had this little moment, this I was like second guessing myself, and I thought, you know, I want to do a tiny little bit of research. Research makes it sound really formal and stuff. But what I did is I thought, I wonder what the most downloaded apps are. So last week, I did a little search, the most downloaded app by day. And so I think I did this on the 1st, maybe, I think it was on January 1st. And so I just had the last couple days. On December 30th, the top app was Roblox. Top downloaded app was Roblox. The second one was like Peacock. The top five were all entertainment stuff. These were all the apps on December 30th. Weird thing, December 31st, 24 hours later. By the way, December 31st is what? New Year's Eve. And for us in 2025, it wasn't just New Year's Eve. It was a Wednesday night. That meant that nearly everybody had Thursday off. And if you could, you know, wing it, if you could work it in your favor, you're going to take Friday off. And some of you, like people this morning, they've dragged in. I saw people walking like, I've had 4 days off. You know, like, so a bunch of people on December 31st were on the eve, not just of New Year's, but were on the eve of like 4 or 5 days off. Like, December 31st could not have been a more chill, laid-back day on the calendar. The number one app downloaded on December 31st, New Year's Eve, was a calorie tracker. Not Roblox, not Peacock, not HBO's, whatever. It wasn't entertainment. The number one thing was, how am I doing on my calories? Number two was a fitness app. Number three, a productivity app. Those were the top three. So friends, maybe you don't like New Year's resolutions, but I want you to know everybody in this room is thinking about starting over. Fair enough? Fair enough? Like, there's something inside all of us. Then we get to the new year, we think, I got to do something about this. And I don't know what your this is. It could be a physical health thing. It could be a mental health thing. One of the websites said in the top five was LinkedIn. Like, a lot of people in our culture are thinking, maybe I need a new job. Like, most of us at this moment at time are thinking, it is time to start fresh. What do I got to do? So our series Lego for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about how to start fresh. Again, maybe you don't like resolutions, call them what you want. But I think most of us in the room are kind of thinking, what do I do as I look at a new year to build health? Stability, how do I get things back on track? And so that's what we're going to be talking about the next several weeks. I think we should be honest and fair. It's fair to say this. When it comes to physical health, relational health, when it comes to work-life balance, God actually has a lot to say about all those things. So all those things that are important to you are important to God. Like your physical health, your emotional health, your mental health, your relationship health. The Bible has a lot to say about all those things. However, God says that there is one part of your life that is more important than anything else. And while all those things are important, if the foundation is not healthy, nothing in your life will be healthy. So I just want to say that again, and we're going to talk about this for the next several weeks. God says that while all those things are important, your job, how many calories you are taking in, how many calories you are spending, like how you're navigating money and relationships, all those things are important to God. But for God, there's something that is far deeper and more important. And if this thing gets missed, nothing else matters. And the New Testament is really clear about this. The most important building block in your life for health is your relationship with God. Your faith. Your faith journey is more important than anything else. If this is If this is missing, nothing's going to be right. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read this to you. Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Don't ignore faith. It's impossible for anything in your life, my life, our lives, anything to be healthy and right, stable and strong, unless my relationship with God is healthy. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I mean, God is passionate about faith, your faith, the health of your faith. So for the next several weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. Like, how do you find faith, rebuild it, restore it, strengthen faith, when honestly, this world's tough on faith. Amen? Amen. This world is kind of tough on faith. So enter the book 2 Corinthians. Everybody say 2 Corinthians? Okay, so some of you have been around a while. We as a church, we walk through Scripture together. And so on Sunday mornings, we will walk through a book of the Bible. So for the first quarter or so of 2026, we're going to walk through a book. It's called the book of 2 Corinthians. Now, this book is actually a letter. Some say it's a couple of letters. There's debates over how many letters are written to the church in Corinth, which that's where we get the word Corinthians. There's this book. It's a, potentially a couple of letters called the book of 2 Corinthians. I think it is incredibly relevant to us today. When I say us, I certainly mean a whole generation, but I actually mean Discovery. There's a lot of similarities between us and this church in the city of Corinth. The city of Corinth was similar to Tacoma. It was a port city. It was positioned in Greece in a really interesting place. Like, if you wanted to get from the north to the south, you had to go through Corinth. So, like here in Tacoma, if you're in Vancouver, BC, and you want to go to Portland, there are some ways to avoid Tacoma. It's hard. It's difficult. It would be nonsensical to do it. Like, if you want to get from the north to the south, you have to go through Tacoma. Well, Corinth wasn't just a place that was people moving from north to south. It was also a port city. It's interesting. It had bodies of water on either side. And so if people wanted to go from the east to the west, they would have to go through Corinth. And so it became a trading hub. This mosaic city, like Seattle, Tacoma, we're this trading city. We've become a really mosaic place, and Corinth was that way. And because it was a mosaic city, it was also a city filled with wealth. And so, like today, 2,000 years later, maybe you've heard the phrase Corinthian leather. Anybody heard that? It's a way to just talk about luxury. And it goes back to people looking at Corinth as this place of luxury and wealth and splendor, but that wasn't the whole story. Just like in Seattle, Tacoma, there are people that, I mean, they're in the upper echelon, but there are also tons of people who are just struggling to get by. And so Corinth was filled with people all sorts of the spectrum, also people from all different cultures. Now, Paul landed in Corinth, and God used Paul to help start a church there. And it's pretty cool. It's recorded in Acts. In fact, in Acts chapter 18, we see a really interesting strategy shift in the city of Corinth, which allows for you and I to be here today. So Paul shows up in Corinth, and he did what he did in almost every city. He goes to the local Jewish synagogue, and he sits down with them, and he starts talking to them about the Messiah, and he wants to prove to them that Jesus is the Messiah. And Paul does this week in and week out, and things are going poorly. And so he decides to make a strategy shift in Corinth, and he leaves the synagogue, and he goes next door to someone's home, a non-Jewish person's home, and he decides he's going to start having faith conversations in that house. And we have the first Maybe you've heard this phrase before, house church. Anybody heard this phrase before? This begins in this place called Corinth. This church starts, and it's unlike any other church. It's filled with non-Jewish people and Jewish people. It's filled with rich people and poor people. We use the word mosaic here at Discovery. This might have been one of the very first beautiful mosaic churches, just this really rich, diverse church. And it was awesome. And so Paul fell in love with the church, and he stayed there for quite a while. But not only did he fall in love with it, he worried about it. Because being in this mosaic city, in this rich, diverse culture, in this rich, diverse church, it also meant it was susceptible to immorality from the culture seeping into the church. People in the church wrestling with what is true about God and what is true about me. And you could use the word doctrine. They struggled with understanding doctrine or what is true, what we should believe. And there was constant friction because this was such a popular city. New teachers would come in all the time and they would bring stuff, and it caused tons of confusion and even relationship breakdown and conflict in the church. And so we have this awesome church in Corinth that's struggling with immorality, struggling with unity, struggling with who is God and what's it mean to be a Jesus follower. And so we have these rich letters. Now, the book of 2 Corinthians, this second letter, is filled with all sorts of things. Like Paul talks about who we are and who God is. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians about things like stewardship and generosity. He talks a lot about reconciliation, how to reconcile. And he talks a ton about suffering, hardship and difficulty. But at the heart of it, well, let me have you read his own words. He's going to tell us the heart, his purpose, his mission behind writing this letter. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. He says, "Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm." Paul says, if I could do anything, I would fan your faith from an ember into a bonfire. I mean, the thing that you need is you need your faith to be revived, strengthened. As you look into 2026, the thing that you need, more than new job, new house, better relationships, the thing that you need is a rich and vibrant relationship with God. You need your faith to be strong. And so while Paul is talking about these themes, he is going to address throughout the book of 2 Corinthians how a person like you and like me, in a diverse and difficult season, can have a substantial faith. So that's what we're going to talk about. That's a long introduction, but I kind of want you to hear a little bit about it. I'm going to encourage you to read, over the next few weeks, the book of 2 Corinthians. Sometimes I teach a book sequentially. Sometimes we'll start in chapter 1 and we'll work a little bit. We're actually going to teach the book of 2 Corinthians thematically. So we're going to talk about some of the themes. We're going to talk about faith. Next month, we're going to talk about suffering and difficulty. Yay! Excited about that? Invite your friends. It's going to be so good. It really will be, Jason. Jason's not sure. But so we're going to talk about it in themes, and so we're going to start first with faith. Now, how do you get started? I said all this stuff about faith, and maybe here on January 4th, you're like, I haven't thought about the condition of my faith. What do I do? So we're going to talk about these building blocks, and we're going to start with the very first one that Paul doesn't hide from us. So if you have your Bible, I want you to open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to actually focus on chapter 1, and then I'm going to make you flip over to chapter 4, And then we're going to have some supporting verses along the way that'll be up here on the screens. So Paul will do some introductions in this letter. After his introductions, he's going to get biographical. What do I mean by biographical? He's going to tell his story a little bit. Now, we won't read all of it, but I just want to get to the heart of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, this is sort of the heart of his story. You're going to figure it out pretty quickly in one verse. He says, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia." Anybody have troubles? Anybody? Okay. So he says, "We don't want you to be informed. We've been going through stuff. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure." Now watch this. These are going to be some pretty important words from the person God uses to launch the church throughout the world. Maybe one of the most influential people in human history outside of Jesus Christ himself. I want you to hear what he says. "Far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." I don't know if you've been there, but if you've been there, you are in incredibly great company. Paul says, things were so hard, I'm not sure we weren't sure if we should keep going with life itself. Now, I said I'm going to have you flip over to chapter 4. I want to have you flip over to chapter 4, and we're going to talk about the difference between these two chapters and how he gets there. Just a couple of pages later in chapter 4, we're going to read a little bit more. It says in verse 7, Paul says, "But we," I like "but." It's like going back, man, "we despaired of life itself, but," watch this, "but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but so is life. Life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken.' Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Isn't that good? Man, I want chapter 4. I don't dig chapter 1. Anybody? Like, Paul, it's interesting, I don't know if you caught this, he actually uses the very same phrase in chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, "We're perplexed, but not in despair." And in chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "I was in despair of life itself." Like, how did that shift happen? How did he go from this place of like, I don't know if life is worth living. I can't put all the pieces together. What do I do? To this other place in life where he's like, bring it on. Like, death is it's at me all day long. It's here. It's pressing in. But it's not winning. How do you get from point A to point B? Well, the secret is verse 9 in chapter 1. So go back to chapter 1. Verse 8, he says, I'm in despair. And then verse 9, he says, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But in chapter 1, verse 9, he says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. Paul says the secret to a breathing, beating, substantial, strong faith is developing a dependence on God. The secret to a strong, brilliant, bright faith that will sustain you through anything is developing a dependence on God. I mean, the source of faith, the heart of faith, is ultimately trusting God with everything, particularly the outcome of my life. And Paul says, we move from despair to not despair because we learned to depend on God and not ourselves. In fact, the word here that Paul uses that we translate into the English rely, it means to be persuaded. It's the same word used in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, when Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul says, I have learned to trust in God. Now, I actually don't think that that's a profound thing to hear today. Most of us have heard Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. Or maybe you're familiar with the Ten Commandments, right? In the Big Ten, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. It's like, oh, I know it. I get it. There's this command. But did you know that it's not just a command, it's an invitation for you to take ownership to develop your trust. Like, I think a lot of us, when it comes to trust, we think it's like a light switch. You turn it on, you turn it off. You know, when I was 5, my mom took me to church, and she flipped the switch, and I've trusted God ever since. It's just been glorious. Or I went through this really difficult time and had this difficult leader and they made me not trust the church and God, and somebody went over there and flipped it off. And maybe literally flipped some things off, but hit the switch and I no longer have trust in God. But did you know that God doesn't look at it that way? Let me give you this verse in Jude, verse 20. It says, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Jude 20, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. You have an invitation from God to intentionally develop your trust and dependence on Him. That's what Paul's getting at in chapter 1. He wasn't saying, hey, before I didn't believe in God, and then I believed in God. He said, no, we were learning to trust God, and we made a decision to lean in and depend on God, no longer ourselves. And that was the difference maker. How do you do that in 2026? I'm going to share with you a few things. Number one, to develop a dependence on God, I need to reflect on what I typically lean into. I need to pause and ask myself, what is my default? What do I trust in? Verse 8, let's read it again. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. What Paul's saying is here is like, we used to use a tool that would get us through. We got to the end of that tool. Realized that the things that we used to trust in, the things that we used to depend on, were no longer working. We had to be honest with ourselves and say, this doesn't work anymore. What do you trust in? Your job? Your income? The affection, the gratitude? The affection you get from a spouse? What tells you that you're okay and that things are going to be okay? Paul says we used to find that significance in all sorts of other things, and we came to the end. Paul actually, in the book of Philippians, talks about some of the things he used to put his confidence in. Philippians chapter 3, he says, I myself have reasons for confidence. If someone thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of Hebrews, regarding the law, Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Your faith will never grow unless you're honest with yourself and identify the things that have become idols in your life. Your health, the approval, affection, success at work, success in the world. What are the things that you lean into? And I would just suggest to you in 2026, as we start, to be honest and name them. Maybe take a few minutes before you go to bed tonight, or maybe a few minutes by yourself tomorrow, and say, what are the things that I trust in that I've put God in front of you? Because as long as those things remain idols in your life, and they could even be really good things, as long as they remain idols above God, your faith will never grow. Second step, make a decision to change your allegiance. It's a decision to say, you know what, I'm not actually going to trust anymore in these things. I'm going to make a decision to put my trust in God. Back in chapter 1 in 2 Corinthians, verse 10, right after Paul says we learn to rely on God, not ourselves, he says in verse 10, he has delivered us from a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. And then he says, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Paul says, I made a decision. I'm going to trust you. Some of us in the room this morning need to make a decision. Like, you need to have a moment where you say, God, I am going to trust you and your ways above everything else. I'm going to lean into you. Part of the growth process is you making a decision, putting it down in the front of a Bible and saying, January 4th, 2026, I made a decision. I'm going to trust God with my finances. I'm going to trust God with my family. I'm going to trust God with my relationships. I'm going to trust God with this decision at work. I'm going to trust God with my children. I'm making a decision to trust God. That's the second step. Number three, as many of you know, it takes more than just a decision. It takes more than just a Sunday morning saying, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray it and really mean it. You've got to fuel it and foster it. So number three, create space to develop that dependence. That's why I wanted to jump between chapter 1 and chapter 4, because in chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says so well. He says, So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. What does he mean by that? I mean, sometimes you gotta just stop. You sit down. You say, what is true, God? It feels really uncomfortable that I got this bad review at work. It feels really uncomfortable that my job's being eliminated. It feels really uncomfortable that my spouse is constantly upset at me. It feels really uncomfortable that we have no savings after working so many years. It feels really uncomfortable and unnerving to not be seen and noticed and appreciated and thanks. But what is happening? Like, for your dependence on God to flourish, you actually have to carve out time every day, friends. I'm not just talking about a abstract. I'm talking about a really practical thing where you sit down before God and say, what is true? So in 2026, I want you to open up God's word, not because there's going to be a test, but because every day you're being tested. And if you don't have the habit of slowing down and reflecting about what is true, you can't fan the flame of that decision that you want to make this morning. Like when I said make a decision, some of you are like, okay, I'm going to make the decision. How's it going to stick and grow? Well, you got to have a time every day that you reflect, God, what is true? What's going on in my home, my family, my marriage? Does that make sense? Like, friends, I'm just going to say it. You can make the most important decision today. Mean it. You can even have some tears when you do it. Like, squeeze them out. You can really have a big time decision today, and it won't last if you don't fan it into flame every day by looking in what is true. And number four, the last one, I'll go quickly. This one's going to make this dependence on God grow in your life, stick like nothing else will. Practice the wait. By the way, if you haven't taken any other notes, would you just write those three words down? Practice the wait. You know what ends quickly your dependence on God, don't you? When you say, I'm not going to wait on God anymore. This is closer, this is simple, this is fast. I got a solution for it, and you pull the trigger. You make it happen. You force it through. But if you want your faith in 2026 to grow, slow down, man. And say, I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to wait on God to change her heart. I'm going to wait on God to change his heart. I'm going to wait on God to provide. I'm going to wait on God to do something. I don't have to fill in the gap. I'm going to wait for God to do something. Some of the greatest pains in my life have come from me not waiting on God when I knew he was calling me to wait. Romans chapter 8 says, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Psalm 27 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord, it says in Isaiah 40, will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How do you grow your faith in 2026? Your faith cannot grow in 2026 without you developing a dependence on God. And some of us in this room, God's inviting us to wait. To pray and wait. And then watch what God will do. Friend, I'm not suggesting that that's the best way to get what you want. I am suggesting to you it is the only way to grow your faith relationship with God. And whether or not He gives you the exact amount of money that you feel like you need, or the exact right situation at work and the right kind of job, whether or not it will make your kids do what you want your kids to do, or your spouse to respond the way you want your spouse to respond, waiting on God will give you this: a developing dependence on Him, a growing faith. And one day, let me read this to you. One day you can join with Paul and say this: we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death's at work, yeah. But life is at work in you. Therefore, don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but we fix our eyes on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, it is my prayer for this church and these friends in this room. My prayer is that You would be breathing faith into their souls. Life is real, and it's hard on the faith muscle in our lives. And we learn to scramble, and we don't mean it. I know, Father, that most of us in this room, we don't mean it. We don't intend on it. You said, have no other gods before Me, but we begin to depend on and lean into and trust what we can manage, manipulate, control, hold on to. Our self-worth is sometimes determined by situations and circumstances and people and the response to me and us. Idols. Oh, Father, in 2026, may we have no other gods before You. May You develop a dependence. I pray in the days ahead that You would be resuscitating faith. It's easy for me to preach about waiting. It's another thing to live it. And I think some of us in the room, You're calling us to wait. To pray and wait and watch. And I want to pray and ask right now that You'd give some of us courage to wait only on You. Earlier I mentioned making a decision. It's part of the faith process. I don't want to avoid that. I want to give you a minute right now. you know that there's some things that you've been trusting in that are not God, and you know, as we've been talking this morning, that it's time for you to make a decision to change your allegiance, I want to invite you to take this minute and pray something like this. Jesus, I've been relying on a bunch of other things. Today I'm deciding to rely only on you. Today I'm deciding to rely only on you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for starting your 2026 with us. I'm going to encourage you to be reading the book of 2 Corinthians with me. I think you'll really be blessed by it. You're going to see some of the themes I've talked about, but I hope that you'll see all through it this strand of resuscitating and rebuilding faith in your life and mine. I think that you and I are going to be really blessed by that the next several weeks. In a minute, some friends of mine are going to be passing some baskets. And this is going to be our giving back to God time. The band's also going to start leading us in a song. If you prayed with me and said, I'm deciding today, put my trust in Jesus, I'd love to hear that. You just take that card and you say, I've made that decision today. I want to be in your corner. I want to be praying with you. If there's some other things you want to do, there's other ways right on prayer requests and stuff like that. And so I want to encourage you to drop that connection card in and use that as this giving back to God. And then I'm going to let the band lead, and then Bobby's got a couple things. Yep. That's it. Was it good to be here? Yeah. Amen. All right.
As the baskets are passed, would you stand and join us in worship? Our fight is with weapons unseen. Your enemies crash to their knees as we rise up in worship. When trials unleash like a flood, to our God as we cry out in worship. The victory is yours. You're riding on a storm. Your name is unfailing. Though kingdoms rise and fall, your throne withstands it all. Your name is unshaken. What hell meant to break me has failed. Now nothing can silence my praise. I will cry out in worship. Oh, walls of the prison will shake. The chain-breaking King will rise to save. We cry out in worship. Yours, you're riding on the storm. Your name is unfailing. Though kingdoms rise and fall,
alone withstands it all. Your name is unshaken. You roar like thunder. Nothing can tame a God.
Thank you so much for coming today. I hope to see you all throughout the year growing in the things that we started talking about today in this series. Come back with us next week so that we can continue. Two invitations for you today before we go. This is an opportunity. Take some time to meet some new people, have some snacks, maybe exchange some phone numbers. The other thing that you can do here is in about 15 minutes, we're going to be gathering here in the kids' hallway and also in the auditorium where we had our amazing Christmas Eve service to tear all that stuff down and put it away. And many hands make light work. So we'd love to have you help us if you can. Happy New Year. God bless you. See you next time.